A swing and a high fly ball. Deep right field. It's a slam.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron.
How about the old Uncle Charlie here? The pitch. Swing and a miss. Threw the fastball right by him, and he strikes him out for the third time. And that's 8 Ks for the Cardinal Herd.
Now, Mike Claiborne and Chris Raby with the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Merry Christmas. Welcome into Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Amron, Chris Raby, and Mike Claiborne with you on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Ben Boyd, our executive producer, Zach Schmidt, Mike Anderson, helping out tonight as well. Merry Christmas, Claibs.
Same to you. We survived the winter meetings, and you were able to bring back some good players, and here we are again, still waiting on a few more things to happen as we go into the holiday season. And I think at some point, while it may not be on Christmas, we'll probably have some other gifts under our tree.
Still waiting for Mo and Gersh to use your creative trade proposal and
Mo told
some of the
me,
structuring.
He told me he didn't think that would fly these days, but it was a good idea.
It was a great idea.
Yeah.
Mel Anthony loved
it. I think
he
ought to try it anyway just to see if somebody says you can't do it.
Well, who knows? Some wheeling and dealing still happening around baseball. Cardinals, of course, acquiring Marcell Ozuna last week, officially after our show. Also sending Stephen Piscotty to the Oakland Athletics. Stephen will be with us a little bit later in the program. Evan Longoria, one player that had been linked to the Cardinals, is headed to San Francisco. So we'll talk about that as well. Kyle McClellan is going to be in studio with us this entire first hour. We'll also hear from Mike Matheny, Keith Costas, and Joe Strome talking some tickets. So a busy show, as we've got a lot to recap. You know, last week, Mike, some of this stuff that we talked about wasn't exactly finalized, but I think a lot of fans now excited about the way, at least on paper right now, the Cardinals outfield is lining up.
I think people feel better about the team this week than they did before the winter meetings. And with everything still on the table, you get the feeling that the Cardinals aren't done improving this ball club. But it also says a lot about something you and I talk about during the season with regard to the assets that they were able to use in order to get what they needed. And they still have assets. And I think they're at a crossroads on how much more of an investment are they going to make with the assets that they have in the organization and the ones they're willing to part with in order to make the organization better.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. We'll do it with Kyle McClellan coming up beginning in our next segment. He's going to be live in studio all this hour. Stuff their stockings with Cardinals 5, 6, and 10-game ticket packs. Packs feature the top promotions of 2018 and are on sale now starting at just $48. Choose from the opening day pack, Cubs pack, bobblehead pack, T-shirt pack, and more. For more info, visit cardinals.com/holiday. All right, we're off to the races, just getting started on this edition of the program. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne with you, Ben Boyd, Zach Schmidt, Mike Anderson, all helping out tonight, and the great Kyle McClellan joins us next when we come back.
Smile
Cardinals
when you say
countdown
great.
Countdown to opening day, the great Kyle McClellan joins us next. We're presented by Amron, and we're back after this in the Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on Gangnam OX.
Welcome back. Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne with you. Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day. Merry Christmas to everyone. And it's a pleasure to welcome Kyle McClellan to the program in studio. We're brought to you by Goodwill. Donate a car to Goodwill for 4 free Cardinals tickets. Kyle, welcome in, man. Thanks for joining us in studio.
Absolutely. Good to be here.
Well, how did you spend your off seasons as a player? And the reason why I asked the question, your body changed over the course of time, so I'm sure you were doing things differently near the end of your career.
Well, it just all depends on really your standing. You know, when you're a young player, you really got to make sure that you're still going and that you're game ready by the time you get there. As you have a little bit more time in, you can kind of put it off a little bit, and you want to kind of hit your stride after a few weeks of spring training. So it all kind of depends on your standing on the team, if you have a spot on the team or if you're fighting for a spot. But for me, I would always say 2 weeks off. I wouldn't lift, I wouldn't run, I wouldn't do anything. And about after a week, I'd be like, okay, I gotta start doing something, get back in the gym and really start putting on as much strength as you can until the first of the year. But I'm a big hunter, so I would go out, and that was my kind of release, where I could go out there, spend some time in the outdoors and do that and just try to soak up as much family time. The one thing I didn't do is travel. my wife, you know, at the end of the season, she's like, well, let's travel. I'm like, no, I just get to put the suitcase up.
Exactly.
Finally, the last thing I want to do is travel. I just want to sit on the couch. I want to be at home. And so it took us a little while to figure out what those off seasons look like.
You don't want to go back to Cincinnati for a weekend in December? You know,
no.
It's different today, guys, with social media. And we'll hear from Stephen Piscotty in our next hour, who basically said he's not on Twitter, but his buddies were like sending him screenshots of every single rumor. And I wonder, Kyle, whether you know your spot in the team, whether you're going through arbitration, if you're a free agent, if you just want to see what your team is going to look like over the next year, what's it like around this time when rumors are flying, fans are chomping at the bit for any information?
Well, I think it's changed a lot since I was done. I mean, my last year was 2013, and it has changed a ton since then, just with the social media thing. I know one year I got a call from John Abamante, the assistant GM, and he was at the winter meetings, and my heart dropped when I saw that call come in. And I answered, and he acted like nothing was going on. I said, Abs, you know you're calling me from the winter meetings. Mm-hmm. My first reaction was I got traded. And he started laughing. He goes, no, I didn't think about that when I called you, but it had something to do with I don't even know what it was, but it wasn't about being traded.
You wouldn't be on the hunting schedule with you.
Right.
That's what it was.
But it's, you know, look, you pay attention to it. As a player, I think you follow those rumors because you want to know what's going on. And every player is different. Some do, some don't. But I always wanted to know what was going to be happening, what our team was going to look like. And obviously you hope you're a part of that team. But social media, I think, is really, really changed the off seasons and just the way that people receive information.
And some guys handle it better than others.
Yeah. Well, when I played, I didn't have social media on purpose. I just didn't want that distraction. I really had to put myself in a bubble, and I felt like that was the best thing for me to succeed and not just be distracted by other things. And I think it's different now. I think with individual promoting themselves and all these players, I feel like they're all creating their own brand. And I feel like that's driven by agents. I feel like that's driven by sponsors and the teams get behind that. And I think it's created a little bit of some separation in terms of the team idea, because you have a lot of guys out there trying to boost their following and do this, that, and the other and elevate their platform, which is good if it gets used for the right thing, but it could be bad also if you have guys that don't handle it the right way.
But it's not just them. It's Major League Baseball, right? We have.
Yes.
We were just at the winter meetings. MLB Network has multiple TV sets, and they're doing entire shows based on rumors. We were sitting with John Mozeliak, Klabes, in his suite when the Ozuna deal was not finalized, and he said, well, I can't talk in specifics. And across the ticker on the bottom of MLB Network said, Cardinals acquire Marcell Ozuna. And Mo said, well, hard to argue with that. So Major League Baseball.
That's a good Mo, by the way.
Oh, thank you. So Major League Baseball is using rumors. Major League Baseball is using the hot stove. Major League Baseball is using social media.
It creates excitement.
It does, and fans want it now.
For sure. And I think that's where it can be dangerous, is somebody gets on there and puts something on that's not legit, and you have to respect the writers and reporters that do it correctly and that wait until they do have it validated. But, I mean, I follow.
We've talked a lot about that.
Yeah, I follow MLB trade rumors, and you'll see, you know, like Matt Adams is entering serious discussions with the Nationals. Well, it's usually not about 5 or 10 minutes later then it pops up that they've officially signed with that team. So the information that some of these guys get is legit and good. You just got to make sure you follow the right ones. But it is. It's driven by the fans wanting information and wanting it right now.
Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne with you. It's Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day. Kyle McClellan is our guest in studio. We're going to talk a lot about the acquisitions over the next couple of segments. Marcell Ozuna, of course, some pitching acquisitions by the Cardinals. Also, Stephen Piscotty on the way out. But, Kyle, certainly I'm wondering from your vantage point as a Cardinals alum and now someone who works with us on the Cardinals Radio Network and works with the organization, this is a different offseason. The fact that the club has missed the postseason 2 years in a row, and at least I think fans are starting to feel a little anxious. The club would never tell you that. The front office would never tell you that. But fans are starting to feel a little anxious, and unfortunately, we've seen it a little bit the last couple of years with attendance the last couple of series of the season.
Well, look, fans here in St. Louis aren't used to not making the postseason, and especially in the stretch that the Cardinals have had. You miss it for 1 year, you get right back in the next year, and then you go on this run where you're in the World Series back-to-back years and NLCS the next year and another World Series appearance a couple of years after that. That doesn't sit well when you don't make it, especially it makes it worse when that team north of here wins the World Series one of those times. And so that always, I think, adds to the anxiety of fans and them wanting more and more. Look, you have to give John Mozeliak a lot of credit in terms of the fact that he is very outspoken. And he will come out and he'll tell you at these season ticket holder events that we have, I've been to a lot of them, I know you've been to a lot of them, he's pretty straightforward. Look, we have to get better here. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. He will come out and tell you what he's looking to do. And this offseason, or going into this offseason, you heard him say, we are going to make changes. We are going to be in on some of the big players. And they have every big trade target or free agent the Cardinals have been linked to.
I agree with you. I tip my cap to John in being proactive with this offseason, but also understanding, as you mentioned, this generation of fans are not used to watching postseason on TV. Mm-hmm. And while he may not admit he feels the pressure, I think he understands the responsibility of being one of the stewards of the organization to make sure there's a competitive team on the field. And if it's not, you have to make an adjustment. No matter how much you like a guy or how much you think he can be better, if you can use that person to make your ball club better in some other capacity, then so be it.
Well, I think if you look at the fans one thing, the general manager another thing, the players not, ownership, they don't like not being in the playoffs for 2 years in a row.
I don't like it either.
The DeWitts have a great understanding of what this team is and what their expectation is, and it's to be in the postseason. And they will put their wallet behind it. They will go out there and bring in these big free agents. They will they did that with Matt Holliday when they brought him in and paid, and they will give away some of their prospects to bring in a proven guy like they have in Ozuna.
Well, we'll talk about Marcell Ozuna and some of the acquisitions when we come back. You can meet some of the new Cardinals at the Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up. It's going to be held Saturday, January 13th through Monday, January 15th. Give the gift of Cardinals baseball this holiday season with winter warm-up admission tickets and autograph tickets. You can meet Kyle McClellan. Go to cardinals.com/WWU. It's Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day. Kyle McClellan joining us in studio. Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne with you. And we're back right after this on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show, presented by Amron on KMOX.
We're back. Chris Ramby and Mike Claiborne joined by Kyle McClellan in studio. Merry Christmas. It's Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Amron. Ben Boyd, our executive producer, Zach Schmidt, Mike Anderson helping us out as well. Guys, I want to talk about Marcell Ozuna, acquired officially just after our show last week. Sandy Alcantara, Magnira Sierra, and a couple of other prospects going back to Miami, Zach Gallen and Daniel Castano. You know, I think that, Claibs, you made a really interesting point about John Mozeliak being proactive. And I think one of the challenges of this offseason, Kyle, as you said about the fact that he was going to identify their weaknesses, go out and attack them, he was not only proactive, guys. We talked about social media, MLB Network. He was proactive on a national stage. And the Marlins didn't do the Cardinals or Giants or Giancarlo Stanton any favors. Teams around baseball and fans around baseball knew that the Cardinals had a deal in place with the Marlins for Stanton. They knew that the Cardinals met with Stanton and his representatives in Southern California. And when Stanton turned them down, the Cardinals were able to pivot and within a couple of days make a deal for a guy who a lot of folks we talk to nationally, Claibs, says may end up being a better deal for the Cardinals right now and in the long run in Marcell Ozuna.
One of the guys we watch in spring training every year, because Ozuna was with Miami, and each year I look forward to seeing how much more improved he was. And every year he didn't disappoint me. And with his youth and just his overall skill set, I just think he's got better years in front of him. Obviously, you take the injury bug out of play. I don't know what he doesn't do poorly at this stage of his career.
Kyle, yeah. I mean, and not only that, but he doesn't come with a 10-year, $300 million commitment. So you have a chance. And if you did a blind resume outside of the eye-popping home runs, but especially durability and number of games played, Ozuna checks every box, if not more boxes, than Stanton.
Yeah, I think it's the piece they needed. It's one of the pieces that they needed. I think it's a central piece that they needed to add. And look, we said it a lot last year in the interviews that we did throughout the course of the year that they're lacking that superstar. They have a lot of the role players and the complementary players, but they're just missing that. I think when Matt Holliday left, And even though it was towards the end of his career, that name, it just what it does in the middle of a lineup when starting pitchers go through the lineup and they see that name, it's a threat. And I think the Cardinals had a lot of really good players, but they didn't have that threat. And I think now they have that. And it doesn't come with a 10-year commitment, like you said. I mean, that look, Stanton would have looked great in the Cardinal uniform. He would look really good in that lineup. But the last 3 years of that contract could be, or even more, could be devastating to an organization. So you don't have that risk. Yes, you would like to have Ozuna for more than 2 years if possible, but you take what you can get, you give up some prospects, and now you have him for the next 2 years.
Here are some numbers for you guys. The Cardinals' new outfield. Ozuna in left, Pham in center, Fowler in right. That's how Mo told us it'll line up. Their ranks last year in terms of National League outfielders. On base percentage, Pham second, Ozuna fifth, Fowler ninth. Slugging percentage, Ozuna fifth, Pham sixth, Fowler ninth. OPS, Pham fifth, Ozuna sixth, Fowler eighth. Walk percentage, Pham third, Fowler fourth, Ozuna 15th. I mean, I can go on and on with these numbers. Defensively, you've gotten better as well because you add a Gold Glover to left field. You move Tommy Pham to center. Dexter Fowler now, in terms of range, probably one of the best right fielders in Major League Baseball. Just from an outfield perspective, you have to be thrilled in all the areas you've gotten better.
I don't think there's any question that this team is much better. And one of the things that I feel is even more important defensively, this might be as good of an outfield the Cardinals have had in a long, long time.
Especially with potentially some young pitching.
Yeah. I mean, and when you got young pitching, Kyle, you know how important it is when you know you've got some guys that can track balls that you make a mistake on. And I just find it hard to fathom a lot of balls getting to the wall that get to the gap, unless you really hit it on the screws.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. Look, if you can limit those balls that are in the gap, if you can save a base, if you can keep them to singles or keep them to doubles as opposed to triples, that's obviously going to make a big difference. The other part of it, and I think they're still looking for upgrades in the infield, you got to be able to field the ground balls, too.
Yes.
And we saw a lot of problems with that, more so infield defense last year was a bigger problem for this team than the outfield, but
I think that'll be straightened out with Mr. Oquendo being on the property.
I think it's certainly going to help, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and make a move for an infielder here before it's said and done, but I think that overall this team is better. To have that defensive outfield is good. Offensively, I think when you look at this team last year as well, you were craving more offense constantly throughout the season, and I think now you have a better dose of offense, you have better defense in the outfield, and I still feel like there's some areas that need to be addressed before spring training starts.
If you want to chime in, you can text us at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. I know so often, and especially guys last year in spring training, we used the word fun, right? We talked about personality. It's maybe a little bit magnified because of the Cubs and Joe Maddon and what you have in the division. But again, from everyone we talked to, Claves, we know Ozuna is close with Carlos Martinez. We know he's close with Yadier Molina. And everyone that we talked to said, the fans in St. Louis are going to love this guy. He has an infectious personality. He's great to be around. I know when you're winning, it's great, but he hasn't been winning that much. So I can't wait to see him in a potential winning situation and how his personality fits in.
You know, we've heard that a lot in the last couple of years. I'm a believer that the most fun anybody can have is when you're winning. And, you know, you can be the team funny man and all that, but when you've lost 5 out of 6 and you're losing at an unacceptable pace, it's not fun. And if you're still having fun, then we got a bigger problem,
right?
Okay? So I think in this situation, it's important to get off on the right start. It's important to get guys involved.
No,
you know, Fowler got off to a terrible start, and he was scuffling until after the All-Star break. And I really thought it had an impact on him. And once he had the injuries, it opened up a can of worms where all of a sudden we look around and we say, hey, Tommy Pham's our best center fielder. And
our best player.
Yeah, you're right. And this was the guy who wasn't on the opening. He didn't jump out of the truck on opening day.
He didn't have a good spring training.
Exactly. And you know what? You're right. He didn't deserve to be here on opening day. Jose Martinez won that job fair and square. Yeah. And to his credit, he remained consistent throughout the season where he's been working on his game in Venezuela and in the Caribbean. I'm anxious to see him come back more than anything else. I don't know how much winter ball he's played, but I would hope somebody's got a look at him to see just where he fits in the equation
as far as the
roster.
He's a name the Marlins wanted.
Well, they can't have him.
He was but I'm saying in the Stanton deal, he was. Yeah. They said they wanted him.
I just think that there's some guys, and you said something earlier, Kyle, about the infield. You didn't single out one person because I think there's a lot of interchangeable parts with Carpenter's flexibility. We know Martinez can play a little bit. DeJong can play short and third. Mm-hmm. So you got some real legitimate options on what you do defensively.
I would like to see a consistent lineup.
I agree.
I would like to see a consistent lineup offensively and defensively. I know they're going to move Matt Carpenter around. I don't prefer that. I wish you could say, Matt Carpenter, come in and you're going to be a first baseman, you're going to be a second baseman, third baseman, whatever it is. Practice it, be really good at it. Because you could see he was uncomfortable out there at certain
second
times.
Second base, for sure.
He wasn't in the right place on cutoffs at first. There was defensive lapses that he had that I think is because he is doing so many different things. And it's hard for him to be very good at, and I think his defense struggled from that.
Well, we watched Ben Zobrist do it in Chicago, and he had reasonable success. But I'm sure if you ask him, would you prefer one? He would say, yeah, I'd like one position.
Absolutely.
Well, and we saw him have some defensive lapses, especially in the outfield, and playing at Wrigley, too. I can't imagine moving around every single day. You wonder, too, though, if part of the benefit of more pieces is that Jed Jerko doesn't need to be an everyday player.
Well,
I think you'd like to see his workload mirror 2016 a little bit more than 17.
Well, we've seen the best of Jed Jerko for a second half in 16. We saw the best of Jed Jerko in the first half of 17. He's yet to put that complete season together. So I'll ask both you guys, is he better served coming off the bench, spot starting, and doing things where maybe he's at 300 to 400 at-bats?
Well, let's chew on that, and we'll talk about that, some of the other moves that they've made as well in our next segment. We'll get some texts at 314-436-7900. Let's give away some tickets, though. Two pairs of the T-shirt packs. Those are six games. It's new for 2018, and it features great matchups against the Royals, Nationals, Dodgers, and more. All games part of the new T-shirt of the Month promotional giveaway. Get yours at cardinals.com/holiday. We will take the fifth caller right now for a T-shirt pack at 314-531-1120. We're back after this. Kyle McClellan with Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on Gangnam OX.
If you're trading away two or three prospects that have a combined 18 years of control for one, that just doesn't sit well with me. So, I think for us, it's all about trying to find that right balance between what works for us and what we're willing to give up. But, we're in this for the long haul. We're going to continue to invest in our pipeline. We want a strong farm system, and that's how we're going to be defined.
That's the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, on our flagship station, KMOX, on Sunday with Mike Kelly, talking about potential one-year acquisitions. Of course, Manny Machado and Josh Donaldson, the most notable that have been in the media. Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne with you. Ben Boyd, Zach Schmidt, Mike Anderson helping us out producing tonight. Kyle McClellan, our guest in studio. And guys, right there, you heard a couple guys that the Cardinals have been connected to, right or wrong, as far as media speculation goes. A third, Evan Longoria, who had been connected to the Cardinals almost via Alex Colome on Tampa, gets traded to San Francisco. A little surprised by the return Tampa got. They got Christian Arroyo, along with taking on Denard Span's contract. Claves, that's probably their top prospect and a middle infield prospect that they were so bullish on they brought up last year, and he was playing shortstop over Brandon Crawford for a spell.
Yeah, but Crawford's their guy, and you have to think San Francisco doesn't have much right now. They've got some players that are right on the cusp as far as being that real consistent veteran. I mean, you got a multiple MVP winner in Buster Posey. I think Brandon Crawford's as good of a shortstop as there is in the National League.
That might be the best left side of the infield defensively right now in baseball, aside from maybe whoever lines up next to Andrelton Simmons in Anaheim.
The other thing, though, here's the X factor. The concussions that Brandon Belt has had is really, I think, a real question. The both of them. And they're at crossroads right now. Now, Posey, you're paying a lot of money to. Belt's a pretty good player. But if you can get anything out of those two guys, I still think their outfield is going to be questionable as far as getting real consistent productivity aside from Hunter Pence.
And you lose a real vet in Denard Span,
yeah,
who's headed back to Tampa. We're taking some texts at 314-436-7900. Kyle, let me ask you. Claves mentioned it before the break. Texts are asking, if you go into opening day right now with Jed Jerko at third, we'll say DeYoung's your shortstop, and a combination of Matt Carpenter and Jose Martinez at first base, are you comfortable with that?
I think, like we were talking with, if you can find a way, whether it's Carpenter going to third base and not having Jed Jerko out there, if you can limit his at-bats to where he's able to stay fresh and to be a guy that can come off and really provide a lot of pop for him. I mean, look, he's hit around 30 home runs and drives in a lot of runs. So he hasn't done a bad job. I just think Colton Wong, I think, has earned the way he played last year. I think he's at his best when he plays every day. If he can do that, DeYoung, it would be interesting to see how DeYoung comes out. Look, a lot of guys struggle in that second year. So for you to come in and say, and I love his swing, I love what he does offensively, but that second year is tough. They're ready for you. They're prepared for you. The scouting reports are there. And it's just a whole different mindset for these players, for these everyday guys. So how does he handle that coming off an offseason and a full spring training? So I just think there's some question marks. I don't think the infield is set. I think if there is a way they can make a trade and beef that up at third base and have Jed Jerko that can float around a little bit, I think they might pull the trigger on that.
You know, one of the things about DeYoung, and I agree that he's an X-factor guy, he learned how to make adjustments late in the mm-hmm. season because he went through some slumps at certain points. But he always managed to stay around 280. He found a way to hustle a hit somewhere along the way. And
his defense got better.
Yeah, it was really good defense.
His defense was good. It was really good for a guy who really wasn't a regular shortstop. So I think his plus factor is moving in the right direction.
But let's not forget, Lemus Diaz was an all-star the year before.
That's true.
And spent majority of the year in Memphis. So
I
you got to be careful on the second year.
But here's
guys.
The difference, though, between Diaz and DeYoung. DeYoung made the adjustments when they started mm-hmm. pitching him away. Diaz couldn't do it as consistently as he needed to. You try and bust him inside, and he's going to hurt you.
Right.
They start throwing him away, and he started still trying to pull that pitch, or he would miss it altogether. DeYoung fought it for a while, but I think he found enough confidence late in the year to say, okay, I'm learning how to adjust. You pitched. You knew if there were certain guys who could get you. You had to make adjustments from time to time. And I think that's the biggest challenge for players in the big leagues. A, recognizing that an adjustment needs to be made, and B, enforcing the adjustment. You might say, oh, yeah, I got to keep my shoulder in. You can keep saying it, but when things go haywire, guess what? The shoulder flies open and you're back to square one.
Well, when you start struggling, sometimes you just try to get back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
But the hard thing is a lot of these guys – you know, like a Carlos Martinez, for instance. Look, his stuff is so good. There's no way this guy's struggling in the minor leagues. I mean, he's throwing 100 miles an hour with a wipeout slider and a good changeup. As long as he can throw strikes, he's going to overpower everybody. So when they do struggle at the big league level, this might be the first time that they've had to deal with this adversity and mm-hmm. make that big adjustment. One, it's hard, and this is where your coaching staff comes in and your veteran players that come and say, hey, you know, you might want to think of it, because it's hard to recognize that in the time. You're just trying to get a hit, and you don't care how it happens, what happens. You're just trying to focus on getting a hit, and sometimes all that just snowballs. And let's not forget, he's playing the centerpiece of that infield as well, I mean, at the big league level. So not only offensively, but defensively, he's playing a huge role in that infield.
I want to run this by you, and I asked John Mosley like this question last week. Miles Michaelis is an interesting project where he went to the Far East to pitch to hone his skill. Was that a better – well, I guess it'll be a better situation because he's got $10 million to prove it. That – well, you think we'll see more guys who have maxed out minor league-wise – go to Japan or Korea and pitch and try and refine their skill? And what are pitchers or pitching coaches doing there that this guy couldn't get done here in the States? And my final question is, will we see coaches from the Far East come over and be part of the coaching process?
Those are interesting questions. Colby Lewis is really the first one with the Rangers that went over and then got a big league deal. A lot of times you would see that 25th, 26th guy on the roster that wasn't going to make the team, was going to go back to the minor leagues, been in the minor leagues for a while. They could go sign a pretty good contract over there and pitch. And I'd say everybody that I know that's gone over there loves it. They absolutely love it. Their families
you
love it.
You get innings.
They are so good to the families. The travel's great. The baseball they enjoy. Everybody I've talked to that's played over there has enjoyed it. So you do see a lot of those 4A guys that we'll see, mostly pitchers for the most part, that will go over there and do that. Some of these guys are able to go over there and figure it out. And they're given the opportunity to figure it out over there and then come back and they're scouted and they land these big deals. So I think certainly Major League Baseball is going to keep an eye on that league, especially as people come back here and have success. I think that's the big key. If these guys come back and they kind of flutter and they don't turn out what they thought, then that league's going to lose some of its value. In terms of the pitching coaches, I don't know. I think that's going to be a tough one because I think it's so important to have somebody that has major league experience, that has played in the big leagues or has been around the big leagues for a long time, to be working with these players because it's a different game. Look, this is the game that is played at the highest level. No other league compares to this. Yeah. And so I think you have to have guys that either came up in the system and maybe never made it talent-wise but have always had that professional mindset. I think it would be tough for a coach to come over here and step right into a major league team.
Well, we'll talk pitching when we come back. Miles Michaelis on the way in. Luke Gregerson, Kyle, you've played with him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, text question, is a starter or closer more important? Cardinals have some flexibility and maybe an out-of-the-box internal candidate. That's next. Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for the Cardinals fan in your life? Surprise your loved ones with a Cardinals vacation to spring training. Come see Klaibs and Kyle. Packages available to fit everyone's schedule and budget. Make your reservations at cardinals.com/vacations or call 1-800-892-7687. One more segment with Kyle next on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
This is the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on KMOX.
Stuff those stockings at the 2018 Cardinals official calendar, spotlighting the signature artwork of the team. Photographers, with a special salute to your favorite Cardinals birthdays. Pick up this must-have holiday gift at St. Louis area retailers or call 314-345-9000. The fifth caller right now, 314-531-1120, will win one Cardinals calendar. We've got about 5 minutes left with Kyle McClellan here in the first hour of our program. Guys, texter asking, starter or closer more important right now? You've acquired Gregerson. You've acquired Miles Michaelis. Kyle, in which area do you think could the Cardinals stand to benefit most from if they make another move?
I think if you look at the rotation, it's still an area that there's some question marks. I mean, you have Waka, who got through last year. Is he able to do that again? You have Wainwright coming off some issues that he had. You have Alex Reyes, which I think is really smart that they're not going to start him until May. I think that makes a lot of sense because we have that conversation all the time. What happens when you get to September, you know, and you're trying to give it, and they did it with Waka where they built in days off. I think they did a really good job last year with that. So I think the rotation, when you look at it, I just don't feel like they have the depth at the minor league levels that they've had in the past few years. There was a couple camps where we were at, guys. They had 10 guys, legitimate guys,
we
competing
about
for five
it all winter,
spots.
Yeah. Yep.
This year, I just don't feel like they have that depth. And then I think the closer situation, though, is, I mean, this is something that Mo said. They're going to go get a top guy, and I think that they're still going to be involved in that. Gregerson can do it, but I think they're going to be looking for a big name.
Klaibs, they've got the assets to either trade for an Alex Colomé, make a run at Wade Davis. My question for you and both you guys, if you're going to reverse engineer Alex Reyes, could he close some games for you early in the season?
You know, closing has a whole different definition than what it used to be.
But could he be your eighth inning setter? Could he be a real weapon in the bullpen?
Out of the bullpen.
Until maybe
yes.
the All-Star break, yes. and then, depending on where you're at, you could turn him loose?
You don't want to do that. You don't want to start a guy off as your closer coming off Tommy John and then all of a sudden say, hey, now
we need
you.
Well, maybe it's this whole year.
Well, if you're going to do it the whole year, but all of a sudden, if you're talking mid-season, you're changing that. Now, all of a sudden, you're wearing your bullpen out because he can only go two or three innings his first start, and then he can only go a few. So now you are just taxing the bullpen, and you don't want to do that to a young guy. You want to come in and say, this is your job, this is what you're doing, and do that.
Well, and they said in May they may start him in the bullpen.
I want to go back to something about taxing the bullpen. They've got to get more out of Michael Waka. Because the five and fly, just it'll eat a bullpen alive.
But you're seeing that all across the game.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why you're seeing teams invest more in the bullpen.
Middle relievers are now getting paid more because they're more valuable.
I'll tell you one thing that's gone by the wayside, that specialist. Hey, we got him so he can get out of left-hander. Well, you better figure out how to get out the guys behind him, too. And that's, I think, one of the quick changes we've seen in the game, where everybody in the bullpen now has got to give you at least two.
Mm-hmm. And or at I least think have it, the ability to do
yeah,
that.
And I even think closers are going to be asked to do more down the stretch. This whole one inning, I can only pitch one inning. You're killing everybody else, because that means I can only use you 2 days in a row. I can't use you 3 days in a row. So I'm looking at maybe doing some things different as far as how my bullpen is structured, which I'll run this question by. I know we're short on time. Is Michael Wacha a guy that you would consider as a closer? Great fastball, stupid changeup, and he can throw a curveball. We know that he's a guy that has been very successful twice through the order.
I think they're going to go get a top closer.
And you know what? You've got the money now with what you're saving on Stanton. I know it's not in the Cardinals' DNA. If you want to make a run these next 2 years, you could theoretically overpay away Davis.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, here's the other wild card in this. You have a new pitching coach. And I played for Mike Maddox in Texas, and I can tell you that he's going to control that pitching staff. He likes to be in control and to run things.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be an interesting way that that matches up. But it you could see a lot different approach to the way that the bullpen's used with having a whole new philosophy.
Is he a guy that's going to challenge you to extend yourself, or does he put you in that comfort level?
Well, I can't answer that because I was in the American League at that time. So it's
okay.
You didn't have to deal with the pinch hitter. You know, you were just pitching until they wanted to take you out. So it's a whole different game.
It is.
Yeah. I think you do like some of the assets you have. I think we're going to see some great competition, guys, in our last minute here in spring training, because you've got some of the new additions. You could still have more, but then you have guys like Sam Tuivalala, Ryan Sheriff, guys that have had some success over the last few years. We thought Sheriff last year, Klebs, was good enough to break camp with the team, except that Miguel Sokolovich was out of options. You didn't want to lose him, and Sheriff was great when he came up. And you talk about a guy who's, to use a cliche, not scared, and a guy who went multiple innings a couple of times down the stretch in a playoff race when you needed to save bullets and guys were unavailable. He was really good.
I think the competition in the bullpen is going to be as good as we talked about with the starters a few years ago.
Yeah.
We had all those starters down there. There's going to be a good guy without a chair when the music stops, when they make selections on who's going to be on this ball club.
But that's what makes a good team.
Yeah.
When you have competition in spring training and you have quality, good major league players that are fighting and scrambling to get a spot on the team, that's when you know you have a good squad. And you want to have that in the infield. You want to have that in the outfield. You want to have that in the rotation and the bullpen. Chances are you're not going to have it at all of those, but that's what you want. As Tony La Russa was great at that, is creating that competition inside spring training.
You saw me throwing at the wiffle ball tournament. Klebs and I are getting loose for fantasy camp.
I can't wait to see Klebs.
That'll have to be a special edition of the program.
We may even have to video Chris's debut.
Man, I tell you what, I say it all the time. St. Louis Cardinals fantasy camp is the highlight of my year. I can't wait to get down there and see the guys. Joe Pfeiffer and his staff do such a great job. I'm excited you get to experience it, Raby, for the first time. And just please don't embarrass yourself or don't tell anybody that we work together, because I don't want to be.
So don't be palling with you after the games.
Kyle, Merry Christmas.
You too, buddy.
We're back for hour two next in the Cardinals Radio Network.
A swing and a long drive. Left center field. Way back to the track. To the wall.
Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show is presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Swinging a ground ball off the pitcher's glove to the second baseman. Got him! A complete game, 5-0 shutout for Adam Wainwright.
Now, Mike Claiborne and Chris Raby with the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Stuff their stockings with Cardinals 5, 6, and 10-game ticket packs. Packs feature the top promotions of 2018 and are on sale now, starting at just $48. Choose from the opening day pack, Cubs pack, bobblehead pack, T-shirt pack, and more. For more info, cardinals.com/holiday. Joe Strome will be with us coming up in our next segment to talk about the ticket packs, along with Mike Claiborne, Chris Raby on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Amarin. Ben Boyd is our executive producer. Klebs, we're going to talk to Cardinals manager Mike Matheny coming up in a moment. Want to talk a little bit about Stephen Piscotty, though. Didn't get a whole lot of conversation about him last week because the deal was not finalized. He'll join us this hour. Piscotty heading back home to Oakland in exchange for a couple of prospects. And, you know, I think that as much as it's kind of a feel-good story, the two teams being able to come together on a deal with what's going on with Steven's family and his personal life, This is a baseball deal, too. And Piscotty on the outside looking in, perhaps, of the Cardinals' outfield after the Ozuna deal and even with the Stanton rumblings. And he's someone that Oakland has pursued and coveted as a right-handed outfielder for quite some time.
Well, one of the reasons why Dan Kantrovich was quite familiar with him, Dan was running the scouting department at the time when Piscotty was available. But I think you touched on something that I think we all have to come back and realize. This was a baseball deal. This was not to accommodate a family.
It was a charity, yeah.
And, you know, I know that the issue was, well, you know, he'd been struggling since the family issue came. Well, no, he wasn't. He was struggling from June of 2016. He never hit over 250 in any given month. But you wish him nothing but the best, because one of the things about Stephen, he always gave as much effort. He didn't quit. And I think he got down on himself a little too much, and I think that really hurt him as he was trying to make adjustments. But he's a good player. He'll do a good job in Oakland for sure.
Important for the Cardinals, too, is they get a couple of nice prospect pieces, at least at first glance, back to be able to continue to restock and replenish the organization and the pipeline, especially if they're going to be moving some guys, whether it's the rest of this offseason, at the deadline, maybe next year, to acquire talent for the big league club and maybe some big-time talent.
One of the reasons why the Cardinals were as active as they were in the winter meetings, and I anticipate them continuing to be active in the winter, is because they have assets. And they have to, as you mentioned, replenish the assets that they have to either use for another deal or just keep your farm system competitive. You know, they were going to have a logjam at some point because of all the guys that were in the organization that were almost big league ready. These guys may not necessarily be big league ready, but they're certainly going to be helpful to the development of the whatever teams they play for. So I like the deal. We don't know whether they can play or not, but I don't think the Cardinals just take guys just for the sake of taking a guy. So I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, we saw a move earlier today that we talked about in hour one. Evan Longoria headed from Tampa to San Francisco. And, you know, I think a lot of people thought maybe it would be a salary dump, Denard Span going back to Tampa. But San Francisco gave up a heck of a prospect, one of their top prospects, in Christian Arroyo.
The only one they have. To be honest with you, Chris.
And that's the cost of doing business these days, right?
Yeah, you're right. And I think that the longer you wait, you've got to make a decision. Does the price go down or does it go up? And I think because you have some teams that realize they got to make a decision, or are we going to compete or are we going to rebuild? I think the Giants feel like they can compete. And when you look at their order, if Longoria can give them what you expect with Crawford and Buster Posey and Brandon Belt,
they're good defensively.
They're
now
a pretty good team, yeah, especially on the infield. And their outfield is going to be a little suspect, but overall, I think they look at their situation and saying, if we stay close, we might be a wild card team.
It'll be an even year.
The question is this: do they have enough pitching? And you're right about the even year thing, because when they're bad, they're really bad in the odd years.
All right, more with manager Mike Matheny. Now we talk the advanced numbers movement, his new coaching staff, and more.
Well, you know, Mike Shannon read Brian Kenny's book twice now. His kind of intro to analytics. So if you hear Mike throwing out, Waino's had some bad luck, his XFIP is actually this, or if you lose a close game with some bad luck and he says, well, Pythag actually says that they should be four wins better, don't think you're dreaming.
I don't know if it'll get that far.
but with that said, you talk about the information, and every year when you and I talk, there's new information, new standards that people go by. How are you able to try and disseminate, A, the information, and also know when and how to apply the pertinent things? Because there's enough to fill up a dugout with.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people get overloaded by it, managers, coaches, and certainly players. So how do you draw that line and say, okay, these are the things that are really pertinent?
You know, I use what stands out to me, but not nearly as much as what stands out to the staff. Mm-hmm. And so I use the staff, and we've already had two different meetings where we've brought everybody in since the season ended, and we sit around and we talk about it. We'll put together a PowerPoint presentation with some of the things. Here's some of the numbers. Here's kind of what the league's doing. Here's where we line up with everybody else, and here's a spot that we think we can improve on. And, you know, the guys upstairs do a great job. I mean, it is amazing the brilliant people we have hiding behind the doors upstairs that care about this team as much as we as a coaching staff does. And so I think it's working hand in hand to find out yes, help us where we are now, but also give us some stuff that's going to challenge us and think outside the box, and then give us an opportunity as a coaching staff to sit down with you, analytic group, and tell you where and try and shoot our holes, and you tell us where we're wrong. And I think that's kind of been the evolution, I believe, in baseball. You're seeing more, and you were talking about younger guys. And I think because they're a little more in tune with the analytics. They understand how they apply. I remember listening this postseason to Carlos Beltran talk about how some of the things just clicked for him in Houston. That, you know, some of that information that's been there for a while, it's not new, but it was presented in a way that he applied it differently. And, you know, those sort of things are huge little nuggets. Okay, what did we miss here, and what players want this? What players are open to it? What can we give each guy to give them a chance to maximize their ability? And I think it all comes, once again, down to communication, comes down to people skills. And I think the same thing happens for us as a coaching staff, to make sure that we're not hemmed in with what we see as old school. This is a staple.
Right.
It's a standard.
Only way it can be done. Yeah.
We can figure out a way to do things just a little different and improve.
My final question for you. You mentioned the staff a couple of times. Some new faces, familiar faces to you for sure. How's that working so far, and what are you looking for out of them?
Yeah, I'd say, first of all, you bring Willie McGee in, and you just got better.
Were you surprised when he wanted to come back and get involved in the big leagues?
You know, I threw it out there. I've thrown it out to him a number of times, is how much more can you do? How much more can you do?
Mo said when you called him, he couldn't believe it at first.
Yeah, and so I was kind of surprised when I mentioned it to Willie. And, you know, I think that's kind of the natural transition. And I have so much respect for guys that understand that their priority right now should be at home. And it's not time yet. I'm having those conversations kind of with a Chris Carpenter, right? A talented guy, not just as a pitcher, but as a coach and as a teacher and as a mentor. But he has young kids still back home on the East Coast, and it's not time. But tell us what you can, because I want you to keep your foot in the door. Willie has done a tremendous job of that. I think he has almost changed the model of what it looks like to be a former player coach in the system. The humility that he brings, the wisdom, and the way that he approaches these young players, they love him. And so the fact that we have him with us now, I couldn't be any more excited. And as much as people love Willie in St. Louis, I don't think they know half of it. This guy is just off the charts, and our guys are going to be better. Our team will be better. I will be better. And then, obviously, there's no secrets with Jose Oquendo. He's one of the best third base coaches I've ever been around, one of the best infield instructors I've ever seen. So having him back and being able to be a part of what we're doing again, I think, is just a great addition. Mike Shildt hitting the bench with me. You know, I'm going to miss David Bell just on a friendship level, and talk about one of the great baseball families, a third-generation big leaguer. David is going to be an impact for the Giants through their minor league system. I still see him possibly managing someday. He's a very strong asset for me, but Mike Shildt is a talent, loves the game, loves that next level, loves this team and this organization maybe as much as anybody I've ever seen. Very untraditional route that he's taken to get to the point that he is right now, and excited to kind of watch him and help him take that next step and help us win. So I think it's a great staff to add with Mike Maddox, longstanding name.
Did you play
in this
against
game.
Him? You
I did, yeah. Yeah, just a smart pitcher, and I've really enjoyed kind of listening to him and how he's going about his business and planning on how he's going to help our team and many of these young pitchers take their game to another level.
Well, Mike, we appreciate it. It's great to see you, and looking forward to winter warm-up next month in St. Louis and then getting down to Florida. Thanks for the time.
All right, guys, take care.
We're back. Joe Strom talks ticket packs next on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back to Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. Chris Rabie and Mike Claiborne now joined by Joe Strome, Vice President of Ticket Sales for the Cardinals. Joe, happy holidays. How are you?
Well, Merry Christmas to everyone. I'm doing extremely well.
We're happy to be with you tonight. Ticket packs are on sale now. So many options for people depending on what games you want to go to, the giveaways, some of the all-inclusive tickets. Tell us how you've seen these packs expand in popularity and availability over the last few years.
Well, we are seeing a lot of ticket packs moving, especially as we get closer here to Christmas. And it is popular. It's really the people's first opportunity to purchase Cardinal tickets, and it's a great gift to give someone. And it's a very simple way to purchase tickets and to purchase a gift as we get here closer to Christmas. It's not too late to purchase a pack. You can go online, cardinals.com, purchase your pack, print off a certificate, and you can give it to whoever the lucky recipient is, and then you'll receive the tickets in the next 2 weeks. So an easy way to buy a Christmas present, and there's multiple packs to choose from.
Joe, what's changed about the package programs and the promotions, where there was a time when you would have these events? It was basically to draw people to come to teams that didn't draw very well. But now you look at it, you've got the Cubs on the schedule. You've got weekend games against good teams. What changed?
Well, I think a lot of it is what how the public wants to purchase items. And the other thing they want to do is purchase early. We are also busy now. And so if you purchase packs now, you can go ahead and put those dates on your schedule for the upcoming year so you don't have conflicts. The other thing I think people are looking for, too, is savings. When you purchase a pack, you'll definitely save money over purchasing tickets individually throughout the year. And then the third thing that you mentioned was the promotional items that are part of the packs. One of the things that we've done in recent years is not only add to the number of games that we give away items. This year it's going to be north of 50 dates where a promotional item will be given away, but also the quality and quantity of items is increased, too. Over 30,000 fans receive the items on the night of the game, but the quality of these items is quite amazing. And quite frankly, I think fans enjoy receiving these nice items. So we've tied it into packs, and people seem to like that. And when I sit here and think of it, like the bobblehead pack, where you have five weekend dates, and all of them will be one of the bobbleheads. And we have some fun bobbleheads this year, and I think it's one that people like having the packages.
Yeah, you've got the promotional items. You have the 10-game opening day pack. That's probably the most popular, isn't it, Joe? Because you get opening day, you get some of the promos, you get a Cubs game, you get the final game of the season.
You're exactly right. You get opening day, you get the final game of the season, six weekend dates, including a Saturday night game against the Cubs, outstanding promotional items included in there, including the 2013 mystery ring, cowboy hat, other promotional items. So it's great opponents, great days of the week, and great items, and I think that's what people like about it. But you're exactly right. The opening day pack is the most popular pack.
How about some of the all-inclusive packs, Joe? And I think people might be surprised at just how affordable these tickets can be.
You're exactly right. All-inclusive tickets are on sale. And this is what I tell people. A lot of people, if you've never experienced an all-inclusive area at Busch Stadium, this is the year to do it. And we have different areas throughout the ballpark. And it's not expensive to go to these areas. I mean, it starts at $55, includes your food, includes your beverages. And it's not just ballpark fare that's in these areas. Yes, we do have hot dogs. Yes, we do have bratwurst. We do have nachos. But we have upscale food like pasta stations. We have carving stations. Many of the areas have open bars, and many of the areas also have a climate-controlled social area. So in the hot summer months, you can go in the air conditioning. In the cool months early in the year, you can go into a heated area. It's the way to enjoy Cardinal baseball. It's like going to a nice restaurant, but also getting to watch a Cardinal game. So this is the year you should experience all-inclusive tickets, and those are on sale right now for 80 of the 81 games.
You know, Joe, one of the things that we've seen with the Cardinals here recently, there's something for everyone's budget where when you look at how things are spread out throughout the course of the season, what do you predict being the hot item in 2018?
My favorite giveaway, I think, is going to be a lot of fun, is the Carlos Martinez mystery bobblehead. And that's the one where you're not going to know which color of hair that Carlos has until you open your bobblehead. So it could be teal, it could be purple, it could be blonde. That's going to be my favorite bobblehead of the year.
I love it. Cardinals.com/holiday is where you go for all of the packs. Cardinals.com/holiday. Joe, a final question for you. How many out-of-town folks do you see taking advantage of these packs and maybe being able to come in for a weekend game with one of the five-game packs?
We're seeing a lot of out-of-town folks take advantage of it because all of the five-game packs this year include weekend games. And so it makes it very easy for people in the outer market to be able to utilize all of the games. And we did that on purpose so that it's either a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday that part of the packs. Some of the packs are tied into the days of the week. You have a Friday pack, a Sunday pack, and And so we've tried to make it even easier for the people in the outer market. So there'll be a large number of people purchasing these packs from the outer market.
Again, cardinals.com/holiday. That is the website, cardinals.com/holiday. Go get your ticket packs right now. Joe Strome, the VP of Ticket Sales. Hey, we appreciate you joining the show, man. Thanks so much. Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, and thanks for your time.
Cardinals Care Winter Warm-Up will be held Saturday, January 13th through Monday, January 15th. Give the gift of Cardinals baseball this holiday season with winter warm-up admission tickets and autographed tickets. Available at cardinals.com/WWU. We're back in a moment. Stephen Piscotty headed back home to the Bay Area, and he joins us next on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Looking for the perfect gift for the Cardinals fan on your shopping list? Start a subscription to Cardinals Magazine and receive two free tickets to a 2018 home game, all for just $35. Order now at 314-345-9000 or visit cardinals.com/magazine. Welcome back to Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day. Of course, last week, Cardinals making a couple of moves, including the trade of outfielder Stephen Piscotty back home to the Oakland Athletics and the Bay Area for a couple of prospects. Stephen joins us on the program now. Stephen, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very well. I know just a crazy last week for you, I'm sure. I know that the dust has finally settled. You're headed to the Oakland A's. Tell me first, a little bittersweet to obviously be traded and be leaving the organization that you just signed an extension with, but with all things considered, a chance to get close to home and get back to the Bay Area?
Yeah, I mean, that about sums it up. It's definitely bittersweet. You know, I loved the Cardinals. Have so many good memories and relationships there. That can be kind of tough to not show up there in the spring. But you know, it's part of the deal. But you know, on the flip side of that, I get to come home and I get to play for the team I've watched since I was basically an infant. So you know, it's definitely bittersweet. That's just the best way to describe it. But and my family's pumped. We're all excited. You know, I think it works out for the best. Just going to try to embrace it and have some fun.
Yeah, how is the family? How's your mom doing?
She's doing well. And we were talking just before we hopped on. We're going to Hawaii and on a family cruise tomorrow. And got the whole family going. We're going to have a great time and just relax and enjoy some good food and good weather. And we're really looking forward to that. So that'll be fun. But she's doing well and in good spirits. I'm obviously happy to hear that I'm coming home, and it's just all good.
What's that moment like when you find out that the deal is done, that you're going to be home? And obviously it's the off season right now, but what's that moment like for you and your family? Because it's stressful and it's a business and it's part of the business, but you can't help but, you know, I think if you're a fan or media or whoever covering this thing, think about the personal side of it and the emotional side of it.
Yeah. I think going through it, you know, it's a little overwhelming as far as, you know, people reaching out and having to get some physical runs and doing all that sort of thing. I was a little bit overwhelmed for a second there, but kind of when the dust settled, I was able to relax and think about, you know, how cool of an opportunity it was. But, you know, it was one of those things where I was just getting alerts from my agent and people seeing things on Twitter and all that sort of stuff. You know, it was kind of telegraphed. I kind of saw it coming, and it was a weird feeling though when it really officially hit and then it was done. It was like, all right, it's kind of an end of an era, so to speak. I've been with the Cardinals since 2012, and it's all I really know as a professional. But you know, I think it's all for the best.
Yeah, and that was my question, because there were some rumblings during the season and, you know, around the deadline especially, and Billy Beane, I know, told the San Jose Mercury News that, like, personal stuff aside, they targeted you as a ball player because they had a need for a right-handed hitting outfielder, and he said that he didn't even inquire about the personal stuff out of respect with the Cardinals. So they had wanted you and had been looking at you for quite some time. So are you looking at social media? Are your buddies texting you when something comes across Twitter? Are you waiting to hear from your agent? Are you just sitting back? What is it like to go through that and to see things kind of unfold publicly? Because not a lot of us ever have to deal with that from a job standpoint.
Right.
you know, everyone was kind of weighing in as far as my buddies and close family and kind of rooting for it to go through. And like I said, I'm not on Twitter, but I was getting some updates from people taking screenshots of things and, you know, seeing what people were saying. You know, it was definitely weird. You know, here my job and everything is such in the public eye, and everyone has their opinions on things, so it was kind of interesting that way. But it does feel really good to go to a team that really just wanted me, and that's a really, really good feeling to know that you know, they liked how I've gone about my business, and they wanted me to be a part of that club. So that's a really good feeling. I didn't feel like I was dealt, you know, solely for the personal reasons. You know, they really, really wanted me, and that's a really good feeling. And then obviously to be close to home is just kind of a cherry on top.
We were on the Cardinal Caravan a few years ago, and it was right after the Cardinals acquired Hayward, and the question for you was like, when are we going to see you in the big leagues? When are we going to see you in the big leagues? You come up that summer, you explode on the scene, you put together a remarkable second half. This spring or beginning of this year, signed the extension. Did you ever think when you were going through that there was a scenario where you wouldn't remain with the Cardinals? Was this kind of shocking to you? I know everything happens for a reason, but just as you look at the timeline, does anything surprise you about it?
You know, it was interesting, and I think, you know, the way this offseason really revolved around the Stanton deal, I thought was pretty interesting. Obviously, the Cardinals are right there in the mix, and obviously knew if he were to land on the Cardinals that, you know, that probably was going to be the end.
Was that kind of awkward to watch that unfold?
No, I mean, he's a MVP caliber player. Any team would want him, so I don't know that it was awkward. It's just something that's out of your control. I wasn't resentful by any means that they were going after him. I totally get it. If I was a GM, I'd be doing the same thing. But when it didn't go through, I figured, okay, looks like I'll be back. And then the Ozuna stuff kind of popped up late and wasn't really expecting that. And then when I saw it was confirmed, then the familiar thoughts of what was going on before with Stan kind of resurfaced. And then sure enough, I got the text from my agent that something was getting close to being done, and then it did.
So how will you remember your time in St. Louis? I mean, for one memory that stands out for me is sitting at Wrigley Field in 2015 watching the playoffs and that building literally shaking with every pitch. And it's game four. You guys are backs against the wall. It didn't work out, but that incredible first inning and your home run and just that series and that run that kind of culminated your first few months. What do you think about that, or have you even had a chance to reflect on your time and some of the incredible things you've already accomplished in the big leagues?
Right. I mean, I have some incredible memories, and you kind of hit the nail on the head that the playoffs in 2015 was probably one of the most impactful and kind of poignant memories I'll ever have of playing this game. That was a special time. Obviously, getting called up, you know, a few months before was a huge deal, but playing in the playoffs and being in that environment is something that just it's hard to put into words, and it gives me chills, and I'm really going to cherish those memories, and I hope that I can kind of recreate some here, you know, in Oakland with a new club. So, you know, as far as memories, that's right there at the top, and then 2016 was a great year, and had some success, and 2017 was a bit of a roller coaster, but, you know, I think I'll learn from that, those experiences, and tap into them as I go forward, and hopefully it'll, you know, help me with the rest of my career.
Yeah, and we go from that game four to them being in that damn tiny clubhouse trying to think of reasonable questions as the media to ask you guys minutes after you're eliminated from the postseason, when you can hear people partying outside. But what a few months that was, just baptism by fire for you and for a lot of guys to get up, and you experienced a lot in just a couple of months here in St. Louis, man.
Yeah, I really did. There was a lot of boxes I got checked in a short amount of time. Really, really grateful for that opportunity. Some I'm really going to miss. That's definitely one of the hard things is, you know, being traded and being away from that place. So it's going to be time to start over and you know, make some new memories. But
you know, all those things are going to be positive things that I'll always remember and be able to look back on, and that'll be pretty cool.
So you were an A's fan growing up?
Yeah, you could say that.
How cool is that? Wow.
Since I was an infant, so pretty dang cool. I've got pictures of me when I'm just a little one, decked out in A's gear. It's pretty cool. I mean, that's, I think I said it on a conference call the other day. It's just, you know, dream come true to make it to the major leagues, and obviously that's going to be my one of my ultimate dreams, and I accomplished that with the Cardinals. But this is definitely another dream, is to get to play for your hometown team with everyone in the area around and get to come to games. So it's going to be, it's just going to be incredible.
Yeah, a lot of ticket requests, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dan Kantrovitz, after scouting you and bringing you to the Cardinals, the work that he's doing with Billy Beane now in Oakland, they put together some pretty incredible young talent. And, again, it must be a good feeling to know that you'd been a target of theirs for quite some time. And I know that with Lowry, you guys are balancing out the Stanford-Cal thing in the clubhouse
now. Yeah, we've got some Stanford-Cal guy, and Simeon and Aldo from the old Cardinals bench coach. So this can be really fun. I think from out here and just watching and observing, you know, a few times here and there on TV, it looks like a fun group.
Well, Stephen, we appreciate it, man. It's great to hear from you, and I know fans are, you know, bummed out to be losing you, but looking forward to rooting you on in your next chapter with Oakland, especially since it's in the American League and you won't be killing us with you know, San Francisco or an NL club. And let the record show that Stephen had been very adamant that he wanted to do this interview poolside on his cruise the next couple of days. But I said, no, I'm a team player. Let's get it wrapped up before you leave.
Exactly.
Hey, have a blast, man. Give all our best to the family, and can't wait to see you in green next year. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Stuff those stockings with the 2018 Cardinals official calendar, spotlighting the signature artwork of the team photographers with a special salute to your favorite Cardinals birthdays. Pick up this must-have holiday gift at St. Louis area retailers or call 314-345-9000. Plus, the fifth caller right now at 314-531-1120 will win one Cardinals calendar. Thank you to Stephen Piscotty. We're back. Keith Kostas joins us next on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for the Cardinals fan in your life? Surprise your loved ones with a Cardinals vacation to spring training. Packages available to fit everyone's schedule and budget. Make your reservations at cardinals.com/vacations or call 1-800-892-7687. With Mike Claiborne, I'm Chris Raby. Ben Boyd is our executive producer on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. Last week, had the chance to visit with Bob Kostas and his son Keith. We turn it over to Mike Claiborne. Now for more with Keith.
Well, we got a chance to talk with Keith Kostas, part of the great law firm and broadcasting company of Kostas and Kostas.
Junior partner.
Yeah, junior partner, son of a Hall of Famer.
Sounds
good.
Fort
Frick Award. I know. Now, will we have to do we have to call him Hall of Famer Bob Kostas, or do you have to call him Hall of Famer Dad now? How's that going to work?
I can guarantee you I'm not going to be calling him Hall of Famer Dad or Hall of Famer Bob Kostas. I'm still going to be calling him Dad.
There you go. That's what I want
to hear. Giving him a hard time.
Exactly.
Maybe you, the next time you see him, and call him once or twice, and then go back to the old way.
I may ask to see the ring. I'm not going to kiss it, but I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to call you Hall of Famer once just to be on record. Hey, I wanted to talk to you because what you do, you've been involved with the MLB Network, and you're having a lot of fun with that. Following in your dad's footsteps somewhat, but being behind the camera, that it's got to be a lot of fun for you. Take me through your day as far as what you do now with the MLB Network.
Well, I have a much different job in-season and off-season. A lot of guys I work with are in the studio 24/7, 365. That's what they do. But during the season, I work on our game crew. So travel around. We do one game every week, sometimes two, covering games for a national audience. So my job in the season is to kind of make sure that everyone from our broadcasters to our producers to our graphics people, our tape people, everybody knows what they're talking about with the teams. Kind of like I always equate it to almost like an editor at a newspaper. I'm kind of in charge of maintaining the integrity of the content. So I need to be up on all the teams and be making sure everyone's pointing in the right directions, following the right stories, and that we're covering the games the right way.
And that's an undertaking. I mean, you have to be on your game because – the MLB Network has now become the voice of baseball You know, you've got the morning show that you're part of, and throughout the day, this is where people come to get that information.
Yeah, and especially for a national audience, it's kind of a fine line because you've got the hardcore fans watching MLB Network. They know what's on, you know, they know what's going on with these teams. They know what's going on with the players. But at the same time, they're not watching, say, the Cardinals 162 times a year like people are in St. Louis. So you got to find that middle ground of how do we tell the story without telling people 2 plus 2 is 4, give them what they want to know but not tell them what they already know.
And that's a fine line. I'm glad you brought that up because you don't want to insult them.
Right.
But you also have to remind people that this game has changed with regard to statistics, the sabermetrics. The analytics have certainly come into play more. And just the way the game is played and the way it's taught, where you don't want to insult people, but you want to give them a new look in how the game works.
Right. And that's, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, because you can give them too much, for sure. And we have different shows, different platforms. You know, we have certain shows that are heavy,
well, I only
heavy
watch the one show in the morning when she comes on, and then after that, I'm done for the day.
I know what brings you in, Clay. Maybe some other people, too.
Well, maybe.
Maybe, maybe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've got different shows that have kind of different approaches. So we've got shows that are heavy on the analytics, and they're going to drive that home all day. We've got other shows that are more kind of your old-school baseball-type scouty shows, player shows, that kind of thing. Many of them that kind of meet in the middle. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there, and a lot of it's really useful. But it's TV. You know, you got everyone says you work in radio. You know, the difference between radio and TV is the
good looks.
Well, I'll leave that to you to decide. But, you know, the conversation you can have in 10 minutes on the radio, you got to get it out in 20 seconds on TV. So if you can't explain these, you know, new concepts in a concise way, sometimes you're chasing your tail, even as interesting or relevant as it might be.
For you, and certainly some of the new things that are coming on board, what do you see and what do you suggest to our listeners, your viewers, things that they might want to pay more attention to as far as its impact on the game and how we assess games, teams, and players?
Well, I think if you're into the sabermetrics and you want to get a start at the sabermetrics, I like a lot of the kind of the basic starting point stats, like, you know, OPS plus or something like that, which is just all that is OPS, and it factors in the park factors and the league average. Mm-hmm. And it lets you make it easier to compare Ted Williams to Albert Pujols. And what was it like run scoring environment then and run scoring environment now? So that's a good jumping off point for a specific stat. But we had Buck Showalter on today, and he put it this way. He said, if you have a gut instinct and you go to the stats and it backs you up, that's a good thing. That's how you make good decisions. If your gut comes from the stats, good luck.
Well, as Tony used to say, trust your gut and not your butt. I mean, because it's something that you got to have a feel for it. And if you don't embrace it, either side, if you don't embrace it but you're going to do it anyway, then you're going to have a problem somewhere down the road.
And another thing Buck said is he said when he talks to his analytics people, and Buck is as open-minded and forward-thinking as
he
anybody,
is that.
While also being an old-school guy. But he goes to his analytics people and he says, you know, stat X, you know, this is great, but what doesn't it tell you? Maybe it tells you this and it can inform you on a certain decision, but if you don't know where the blind spots of these numbers are, you're going to have blind spots all over in your mind too, so...
All right, before we get out of here, you have a chance to work with your dad in the summer doing the games. That's a blast as well.
It's amazing. I mean, I've been going to games with him my whole life.
I know. You know these ballparks better than most people do, at least the booths for sure.
Showing up at Busch Stadium when I was a little kid, you know, I definitely went and sat all over the park. Sometimes in good seats, sometimes with my mom at Schnucks. Want to go to the game tonight, sit up top, take my shirt off in the upper deck in the middle of the summer, little kid. But a lot of times it's just me and my dad. You want to go to the game tonight? Yeah, me and him would just go down, go in the press entrance, sit up in the KMOX booth, see you, see Jack,
exactly,
see whoever. So I've kind of been blessed to be around it, and now to do it in an official capacity and kind of help my dad and help him do his job and work together has been awesome, especially on a day like this.
You've earned your stripes, too. I want to make people understand that your last name is Costas, but you hold your own with anybody in this industry, and you should be proud of that as well, and that's something good for you, sir.
Appreciate it, Claves.
Thanks, guys. Back to wrap things up in a moment on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. The six-game T-shirt pack is new for 2018 and features great matchups against the Royals, Nationals, Dodgers, and more. All games part of the new T-shirt of the Month promotional giveaway. Get yours at cardinals.com/holiday, and we'll give one away, a great gift, to the fifth caller at 314-531-1120. That's going to do it for us on this week's edition of Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. Thank you to Mike Claiborne, my co-host. Also, Kyle McClellan, for joining us in studio. Manager Mike Matheny Sweeney, Stephen Piscotty, Keith Costas, and Joe Strome. Our great producer is Ben Boyd, our executive producer, also Zach Schmidt and Mike Anderson, helping us out tonight. I'm Chris Raby, as we wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas, special holiday edition of the program next week. Until then, this has been another edition of Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you next week, right here on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.